Good morning, extended church family. And you truly are family in the kingdom of God. For those of you that are born again of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters. And the scripture plainly says that the kingdom of God is everywhere, of every tribe, kindred, and tongue. Think of it. Somebody's going to be speaking Arapaho Indian in heaven and is now, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Resurrection Sunday. How amazing. And that is a reminder of spring. And I realize that there are a lot of pagan connections to this day for people. But for me, no, it's Resurrection Sunday. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ sets our faith apart from all the others, because we serve a living God. It's not a religion. Christianity truly is a relationship. It has been a historic thing for Christians to gather on Resurrection Sunday and for someone to stand up and say, "He is risen." And they said,
"He is risen indeed."
He is risen indeed. Amen. No small thing. I am so thankful for those reports this morning. When I rededicated my life to Christ back in the mid-80s, evangelism was a big part of my dedication to Christ, because I realized we just got done with revivals, that if you sit through a revival meeting, there's no escape for anyone. If you don't know the Lord, you're pinned to the wall with the gospel. If you do know the Lord, then you're compelled to go tell others about Him. That's really the only reason we're here. We're not here to warm the church bench. We're here to share the gospel. And so when I heard those reports of Bangladesh, I was very happy for that, because it reminds me of the goodness of God and how it goes everywhere and affects everyone. I was waiting for that to come, but I didn't want to ask for it. Thank you, brother. Well, this morning, my text is John 15, 1. John 15, verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Well, today I just want to look at something that we've been discussing already. How many times people say they marvel at, they were getting ready to give a message or teach, and lo and behold, the Sunday school message was tied into it, and so it is here this morning. And I want to talk this morning about the true vine. I was trying to think of a title. I'm not big on titles, but it helps people sometimes. It's a little bit of a long one, but I would say something like, "From tables of stone to a heart of flesh." And that's what we're talking about when we say that Christianity isn't a religion. You see, in the Old Covenant, God wrote His law on cold stone. But in the New Covenant, it's written in our heart by the Spirit of God. And it's so much more in the kingdom of God for us than it was for them. It's way more. We're going to try to look at the basic essence of true spirituality. Years ago, a man by the name of Francis Schaeffer, who was a Christian philosopher, and no, we wouldn't agree with everything he thought, but I do believe he was a true believer, went to a university. It was Liberty University. And Liberty University is a hub of American Protestant, patriotism. In other words, they're teaching really an Old Covenant basis for everything. But Francis Schaeffer came and he said something that was really big, and that is, the early fathers of America weren't all true personal Christians. Now, that would have been kind of, if I can use the term, a bombshell for the people sitting there. Because one of the things that you see wrapped up in America today is what I call or refer to as the God, guns, and America faith of America. And there's a lot of venues and avenues to that that you can discuss, from non-resistance, what have you. But Francis Schaeffer was telling them that there's such a thing as true faith, strongly inferring that there's also such a thing as an untrue faith. And that's what we've been talking about this morning. What is true spirituality? People want to know in the streets what true spirituality is. Now, I'm going to stop here just for a moment, because I'm preaching in 4th Avenue in Altoona. And that's interesting, because I've come home to a place I've never been before, in a sense, if I could use that. See, my family's from Altoona, for those of you that don't know me, even though I was born and raised in the West Coast. My mother and father were from here. And my brother is in a graveyard 5 minutes from here. And I never met him. He was killed in 1944. And so there's a lot of things that I thought about as I came up through the valley and coming toward Altoona. And I was thinking, you know, my parents probably saw a lot of these houses. I know they lived in a house that was maybe 5 or 8 minutes from here, right in town. My dad worked for the railroad. But so it's an interesting thing for me that the kingdom of God has a lot of surprises. If you think that the Christian faith is boring, it's not. If you really latch on to God in a personal way, he's going to pull you along in life. And he's going to show you some things, and he's going to talk to you. The Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. You must hear the voice of God. You know, there are a lot of people being persecuted. I hear people talk about, well, when the persecution comes, people, it's already here. I would guess that the vast majority of true believers live outside of America. In many places, they're persecuted for that. And if you want to control someone, the first thing that you do is take the word of God from them. And that's why that occurred so much in the former Soviet Union. It happens in North Korea today. It happens in China. It probably happens in Bangladesh. It's an Islamic country. To get the word of God out of people's hands. Well, what are you going to do if somebody takes your Bible and chains you to a wall? You better have the word of the Lord in your heart. But the Spirit of God will speak to you. It's just an amazing thing to me to think about true spirituality and what it really means. Well, the title this morning indicates that there's something of a transition, or there's a movement, obviously. And life is that way. We are really wayfarers like Abraham. We're the children of promise because of Abraham being our father. I personally believe that, and I'll just say it, we are Israel today in the sense that we are the children of God by faith through Father Abraham. And that is a beautiful picture for me. It means something to me today that Father Abraham has been our father and that has and God has provided his promises. John 6:63 says, turn back to that. I believe I marked that. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And the thing that I want to focus on there is life and spirit. The revelation of God comes to you through the Holy Spirit. John told us in chapter 14 and 15 that when we receive Christ, we're not just receiving a doctrine, although we receive things that are true about him verbally, or maybe we read it. But we must ultimately make a choice to choose the living God. And John said that he will come in the form of the Holy Spirit and dwell in you. That's a whole different program than a religion. That's a relationship. And that's what we're trying to tell people, how important it is, because the Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of his. People who don't believe in Jesus like to pick out the words that he spoke that can patronize, and we're all that way. But Jesus said some very blunt things. If you don't know me, you're going to die in your sins. I am that I am, Jesus said. And they wanted to pick up stones to kill him. And it's the same way today when people take the Bible from us. They want to take the Lord from us, but he is in our heart if we're believers. So it's life. We're talking about life this morning. We heard about these people that have received Christ in Bangladesh. What an amazing thing. And a difference has come into their life because there's a paradox. They had to give some things up in order to gain it. And that's the amazing message of the kingdom of God. That we have to give up ourselves in order to gain him and to gain life. We're not to have our own lives before him. I guess if we're going to be honest, we're going to have to say that there's a difference between imitation and life. Imitation is something that happens a lot in religion. Unfortunately, it happens in Christianity, but not the kingdom of God. If you're a member of the kingdom of God through the Spirit of Christ, there's no imitation there. But religion can be an imitation. You know, I was thinking as I was driving up through here, there are some people driving to church in horse and buggy, and I used to work for horse and buggy people. And some of them were wonderful brothers in the Lord, and some of them weren't. And I thought, one day I was in the garage watching him work on his buggy, and I looked in there, and it was the first time I ever saw him one, and he had a stereo in there, and chrome plate, and all kinds of stuff, and I thought, that's just pretty fancy, and I opened the back up and looked in there, and I thought, you know, the flesh is the flesh. It doesn't matter what the equipment is, and, you know, whether it's a souped-up car, and somebody that's a close friend of mine said that one day, his boys got reported because they were hot rodding the tractor while dad was gone on the farm. The neighbor called and said, hey, you know, do you know your boys, by the way? Well, the flesh is the flesh. It doesn't matter what the, you know, be it an old John Deere 4020. So we're dealing with all of those things, all of us, and we grow. And that's why there's differences in us. The truth of the matter is the kingdom has a lot of diversity in it. We just go to Bangladesh. I haven't been there. I've been to Mexico. That's the only foreign country I've ever been to. It's not very foreign because I'm from California originally, and so it seems like half of California is Mexican people anyway, so going to Mexico doesn't seem like that much. But the truth of the matter is there's diversity in the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful thing that God has done. But there are certain things that earmark true believers. Now, I came to the Lord at 14 in a Protestant or a Baptist church, and was one of those groups that talked a lot about patriotism. And I've come to see, as I've read the Word and as God has birthed the kingdom of God in my heart, I've realized how important it is for us to not go to war. How the two kingdom principle just makes the category so clear to me. And those things are very important. I'm not saying that there are absolutely no Christians that have a patriotic view. Of course, it'd be ridiculous to say such a thing. That's not true. But if we want to go on in the Lord, true spirituality means just that, traveling on as a wayfarer like Father Abraham, in our heart and in our mind, and comprehending more of the things of the kingdom of God and growing in that respect. The Pharisees and the Sadducees knew the scripture. They knew it. Detailed. Could quote it. Followed it. But God came, the Messiah, and looked at them in the eye, and they didn't know who he was. And he told them, you study the word of God because in them you think you have life. But it is they that speak of me. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. And that's what happened when he stood up in the synagogue and he preached from the Isaiah scroll, the Jubilee. Jesus was saying, I am the Jubilee. Literally. The fulfillment of it. Setting the prisoners free. The blind receive sight. It's the Jubilee in Jesus Christ. And that's our message today and every day. I just love that. It's every day in the kingdom of God. It's not just a remembrance once a year. I've been to a church years ago where You'd go to church all year long and you'd see about half a church full. But wait till the high holiday of that particular church and the place is full. And people go, who are you? And I go, well, who are you? That's not what it's about. We're supposed to have fellowship with one another so that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin. We're not to approach our lives in a way we're just looking for a once a day or a once a year observance, whatever it is. They did not, the Pharisees, they did not recognize Messiah Jesus. As a matter of fact, they murdered him. And the same spirit is in the world today. Scripture comes alive in a new way when the Holy Spirit comes into us. It has to. God is a living God. It isn't just a pretty picture in a Bible book. We had some really beautiful Bible story books for our boys as they were growing up, and I thought, I love to look at them. And when my father-in-law would come over, he'd pull one off the shelf. He liked to look at them because the art was so beautiful. But you know, God isn't in the artwork in the book. Mount Horeb is there today, but he's not hovering over it like he did then. He's everywhere, and he's literally, if we believe the scripture and the new covenant of the kingdom, he's in us. If we've believed him and committed our life to him. One thing's for sure is that as life goes on, the Holy Spirit will speak to us and he'll beckon us. That's what's happened in my life, and I know for everyone here who's walked with the Lord that he will beckon us. In other words, call us to his heart. We'll hear his voice, my sheep will hear and will follow him. And as time goes on and you read the scripture, this happens a lot, and I hear people sharing it with me. You know, I memorized that scripture in Sunday school, but I just understood what it means. And that's because, it was already said this morning, God brings things into our lives to make that come alive. He's going to speak to you if you're really seeking him with all your heart as best you can. And none of us is perfect. But if your heart is right before God and you're looking for him in truth, he will reveal himself and he will talk to you and he'll beckon you and he'll say, come forward, I am the way. I've been using the term true believers. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God and all the different people in it and all the different ratios of maturity that we have, because I could tell you right now, if you're people and I'm one, we're all different and we're all at a different place in our understanding and our walk with the Lord. It's just a fact. Now, we can do things to make it look more uniform than it really is, but in reality, it's not always very uniform. New believers, young. When I was 14, came to the Lord, I knew practically nothing. But when I met Jesus, I knew who he was. Because somebody shared him with me in a very personal way. I think about Gideon as a good example of what I'm trying to say. Started out with something like 32,000, right? Well, let those that are a bit timid and don't want to go to war take off. Well, now we're down to 10,000. That was quite a few running off, right? So then we have another test, and God says, come on down to the creek, and this is what we're going to do. You look at this, or you look for this, and those are the ones who are going to go to war. Well, the point of it is, to me, is that it's not that the other people weren't a part of Israel. It's just that God wanted to separate out the choice troops, like they would say today, the special forces, if you will, and wanted to test them. And he made other points and things there that we need to remember today as an overall teaching. But the basic general overall thought is that everyone that is in the kingdom of God is born again, but we have different levels of maturity and different calls and different usefulness. And we can make ourselves really useful by choosing to do so. That's really what God's looking for, is your heart. The scripture says, seeing with the eyes of your heart, do I really want Jesus? Now, when I came to the Lord at 14, I fell away a few years later because of the concerns of the world. But when I rededicated my life to Christ, I recognized, because somebody told me and the Holy Spirit was speaking, they have to purify your life. Sanctify yourself. I threw away all my rock music. I had a big stack of music and I burn it. You have to just jettison it, get rid of it. There's something in your life that's holding you back. God wants us to consecrate ourselves. For me, it's a continual process. If my family was here this morning, they would tell you that I failed. But you know what? When we fail, Dad, and I'm going to talk to Dad, because you're key, you have to say you're sorry. If you don't, the offense will come. I have to say sorry. And there have been times in my life when I've had to say it more often than I would really like to. Men don't do that easily. All of us do. I'm telling on myself. Because it came from a family that was a little on the wild side. I came from a family that loves the fight. And so we have to crucify ourselves. Unfortunately, like I said already, true vine implies that there are other vines. If Jesus said, I'm the true vine, what he's really saying is, focus on me because there's a bunch of others. But all those other vines fit into one. There's only two kingdoms. It looks like it's very confusing to people. If you just qualify it by saying you're either serving Jesus or you aren't, it's just that easy. But there's all kinds of false vines. And some of those false vines have pretty good fruit on them. We can name them. Every one of us has something in our lives that entices us that displeases the Lord. I believe that. All those other vines are ultimately, fed into or connected to the evil vine. There's two things we have to look for. Jesus said it's okay to judge. First, remove the log from our own eye. Then you will see clearly to help your brother, to remove the speck from his. God has said that you will know them by their fruit. And he went on to say something that sounds overly simplistic, but it's something that is so beautiful because people have to hear it that simple. I did, and I have to be reminded of it. Good fruit doesn't come from a bad tree. Bad fruit doesn't come from a good tree. These are basic, rudimentary principles of spiritual life that are realities. If a person who claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have a clear verbal testimony about who he is and is not showing some sort of fruit in their life, then minister to them. Help them. Pray for them. It's the greatest thing you can do. I don't know how many times I had to pray after failing with my children, raising them up, and say, Father, I'm putting them to bed tonight. Tomorrow's a new day, you promised. And guess what? It was a whole new day to go on in the Lord. Jesus says that as the true vine, he will give life, and he will give it more abundantly. Jesus wants you and I to have life. Abundant life. It's very important for us to realize that if something has death in it, it's none of his. John said, very simply, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. To somebody who's living in the darkness of this world, that's a huge truth. Can I say it that way in modern terms? It's the simple things and the paradox that are profound. The gospel of the kingdom is simple. Setting people free. Well, it's Jesus' nature to stretch out his arms to all. We already talked about that. We call it mission work. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's why you're here. You're going to be persecuted because they persecuted your master, so why wouldn't they beat up on the servants, if you don't mind me saying it that way? Well, of course they are. But Jesus wants us to go and bring all nations. Why? Because Jesus himself is not exclusive. Jesus is not exclusive. He is not small in his view of things. He's not self-occupied. It's his nature to say all, whoever may. Jesus himself isn't narrow. But you know what he said? He said the way is. There's a difference. You see, there's that wonderful story, I hope you've all read it or whatever, where Pilgrim is passing through the wicket gate. It's a narrow gate, and that's what it says in Matthew 7:13, that the way is really narrow. And in the original language there it means, and there will be very few that find it. Another way to interpret that would be the vast majority is going to miss the wicket gate. That's what it says. Jesus' arms are wide open, but the way into him is very narrow because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. You don't have to argue with people about religion if you're talking to somebody that's Muslim or a Jew, because the argument's already over. They have to accept Jesus, and there's no other way to life. Well, what is the proof that Christ is in us? That's what I hear us all saying as time goes on. I think, in general, we'll just reflect back on what I just said. We're going to be characterized by ministering life. We're going to have grumpy moments. I'll be the first to raise both hands. And if I have one of them moments, I better lock myself in the house. No, I won't say that. We're supposed to minister life. But that's a way of life. And we're going to spend our whole life getting to the Lord at the end of life, and it's going to be a little bit like this. It is for me. Is anyone here having a straight shot to the... Okay, no. This side, no takers either. Okay. We're supposed to minister life. Well, I'm going to come into the conclusion here of the message. I've already said that if we have not his spirit, we are none of his. That was my father-in-law's favorite verse. He was a River Brethren minister, and he would quote that. And I remember that verse because of him. How many of you have someone in your life, Sunday school teacher or something, that quoted a verse to you, and you've never forgotten it because of them? Is it? You probably do. Everyone, as life goes on, believe me, I'm 55 now. It's rich. I don't actually want to be at any other point in my life. I don't want to be 25 or 35. I like it right where I'm at because that's God's plan. And it's been like this in my life, but you know I'm heading the right direction. And there's something about it. You realize the truth of the hymn as you get older, that the things of this earth grow strangely dim. Things that I thought were huge. There I use that word again. I think it's because my family does. When I was in my teens, don't even register now. Priorities change. He actually changes you from within. He said that he's going to do that. If you've received him, you have given him the keys to you. He's going to drive you where he wants you to go. And he's going to give you the goods to do what you're called to do at that moment. Don't doubt that. I flunked speech in high school. I would literally shake. And I said 6 words and I'd sit down. It's taken me years to try to figure out what's up. You know, how do you get around this? It's only Jesus that will do it. So I want to tell those of you, it's wonderful to be in a church where people have to get up there and get devotions going and lead a song. You're not just supposed to stare at the back of one another's heads. You're supposed to get in there and do it. And that's beautiful. Sharing like that. And that's what happened to me. Somebody opened the gate for me and said, well, do this. And I don't want to. And, you know, he was in the Air Force, and he was in the Eastern Pennsylvania Mennonite Church, by the way. He'd been in the Air Force in Korea. And I said, oh, brother, I'm so scared. He said, listen. And he was a good speaker. And he said, everybody has butterflies. Just get them flying in formation. See, there's another, it's not scripture, but I hang on to that comment. And it's like, okay, we got to do this. So I just want to encourage everyone that in Christ, anything's possible. And if you would have asked my speech teacher in high school if I'd be in Altoona preaching today, he would have just shook his head. Okay, we're going to bear fruit. What's the fruit? Who can name fruit? Where's the fruit? What chapter? Is it in Ezekiel? It's in the New Testament, Galatians. Patience, long-suffering, all these things that come out of this when we know the Lord Jesus in reality. Because it's the opposite of those things, the nature of the flesh that are also listed that will come out of you if you're connected to the wrong vine. And that's what we see going on all around us. A true vine has some pressure, turgor pressure, whatever it is. It's going to push fruit, okay? Fruit's going to come. I look at those potatoes in the box when my wife asked me to get them, and I go, boy, they're awful shriveled. She says, it's not a problem. Just bring them up here and we'll use them. The truth of the matter is that we will bear fruit because we all have the Holy Spirit, and we will even bear much of it. Well, I'm going to conclude here. I would just like to conclude by saying we must pray every day when we rise. I would ask this, that, Lord, make me a channel of your fruit and of your Holy Spirit, because that's the witness that we are going to have. It's a good thing to go to San Francisco and hand out tracts in the Haight-Ashbury district. And we did that years ago in the churches that I was involved in. And sometimes they chase you off the street. And that was in the gay district and what have you. It doesn't matter where you go. Doing that's great. But you know what? When you're at Walmart and the person standing behind their register looks like something's really wrong or really deeply sad in their life, and I like to observe people, just your attitude will make a difference for them at that moment. And it may open a door where you can actually verbally share the gospel. So I'm saying that to myself also. May God bless you with a testimony. I'd just like to say, can we sing hymn 506? We can do it now if that... Let's pray. Lord, we come and call you Father because you gave us that permission. Father God, thank you
Thank you for the resurrection of your Son in each one of us throughout each day. Father, thank you for helping us to find the kingdom of God and to make it known. Thank you because you have told us that we can have life abundantly, strong, with the strength of the Holy Spirit flowing up in and through, producing fruit. And I pray, Father, that you would protect all the families that are here this morning from the evil. And I pray, Father, that you will glorify your name this day and the rest of the week in our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen.